If you can't hear, raise your hand. All right, so I keep going through the book of Ephesians, and I think I've been preaching a little bit shorter because it's been going online. But I want to cover tonight, and so I don't think it's going to be grueling long, but just stick with it tonight. I want to start by reading a scripture out of Matthew chapter 24. You can turn there if you want to. Chapter 24, verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of man be. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Let's see if I can get down here a little closer. So, we're in the book of Ephesians. You can turn there if you want. The theme tonight is actually going to be in Christ. In Christ. You can't understand Paul's letters. You can't really appreciate them unless you understand his understanding of what it means to be in Christ. And so keep in mind that we, as a people, have been called to plant churches. Specifically, God has given us a revelation and understanding out of the Word of God that He intends for churches to be planted. So what that means is we share the gospel and people become Christians. And then we help them become disciples of Jesus Christ. And as they become disciples, we help them learn to also become those who share the gospel and make disciples of others. Then we help them understand what the church really is, help them find their part, and help them begin to function in the church as a whole, but specifically connected together with other people. And then as they grow, they win others to Christ, and their group gets too big, and they multiply. As this multiplication happens, we look for people and identify those who have the calling of pastor on their life. When we find a guy who's called to be a pastor, we put together a team of people who make plans to plant a church. In time, in God's providence, when it comes to pass, this thing's going to fall over, I guarantee you. When it comes to pass, we will plant a church. And when that church is planted, they will win the lost. After winning the lost, they will help those people become disciples of Jesus Christ. And as they become disciples of Jesus Christ, they will learn to share their faith with other people. See, it's going to be a long sermon, because we're going to win the city before I'm done. And we're going to have to multiply a lot of times. Don't forget that this is what we're doing. Keep it simple. Stay to the plan. Don't get elaborate. Tell people about Jesus and help them to learn the life of a disciple. Keep that in mind as we work through the book of Ephesians. There is no other book in the Bible. There's no other book in the world that will help you understand more fully what God intends to do in shaping and forming a bride for His Son, the Church of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I want to talk about being in Christ and the part that plays in the planting of a church, in the building of the kingdom. In this book, in the book of Ephesians, everyone should know by now that there's a very simple outline. 1 through 3 talks about the dynamic of God in our lives. And 4 through 6 talk about the expression that gives to the kingdom of God in the earth. And so tonight, I want to talk about the dynamic. The dynamic, and this is just simply out of the Webster's, dynamic is relating to the physical force or energy. It is the productive activity or change. It is an underlying cause of change or growth. In mechanics, it deals with forces and their relation primarily to the motion, but sometimes also to the equilibrium of bodies, a pattern or process of change, growth, or activity. It is the process of being in equilibrium. It is the process of growth. It is the driving force of the church. What is the driving force of the church that causes an expression to be made of God? It is the fact that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And that's our only hope of glory. God has called us to plant a church. You can't plant a church. You can't become an expression of God unless we are living in God and God is living in us. The word expression means a process or instance of representing in a medium, an utterance, something that manifests, embodies, or symbolizes something else. The church is supposed to embody. It's supposed to express who God is in the earth. If in Hebrews, everybody knows that verse where it talks about Jesus being the express image of God. That's the same word that's used to mint a coin, that when you press into that metal a stamp of Caesar, and then you look at the coin, you see an exact representation of that stamp. That's what the church is. That's chapter 4 through 6, but that does not happen apart from the dynamic of us living in Christ and Christ living in us. There's two factors. There's us in Him and Him in us. We don't have time to do both tonight. I wrote a little book called Christ in You, the Hope of Glory, and that's one of the sort of foundational values that we always come back to. So I thought I would choose just the term in Christ in these first three chapters. It appears 10 times. There's 4 or 5 other times where it's in Him or in whom. And so I'll mention those, but we're going to go through those and we're going to try to understand what it means to be in Christ. So if you are out and working in the garden, if you grew up on a farm, you were hauling hay, and you get absolutely depleted, almost dehydrated, and you finally get to that drink of ice water that your mom has left. And I know some of you are saying, well, you don't drink ice water. Yeah, you do. If you grew up on a farm, you drink ice water when you're that hot. And it's like you drink that water, and it's like you can feel every cell in your body drinking that water. You know what I mean? If you've ever been that thirsty and you take that drink of water and your whole body responds to it. I don't know what, but it is, it's an actual physical thing that happens. Your whole body rearranges around that water coming into your body. That's Christ in you. Christ comes in and He ministers to every aspect of who you are. But if you lived on a farm that had a pond and you've been hauling hay and you drive by and it's the end of the day and it's just a bunch of guys, you strip to your underwear and you jump in the pond and you feel it all around you and you just float. And the same thing happens, but it's from the outside in. My collar? Okay, thank you. Brenda's telling me to fix my collar. Is that it? Thank you. And if you've gotten in that 100-degree weather and just got to the place that you're dying, and then you hit that pond, and it just feels like the whole world is perfect. That's being in Christ. And so you can both have Christ in you, and you can be in Christ, and both are very significant. And so we're going to talk about being in Christ tonight. And we're going to go through it, and we're going to read the several verses in these first three chapters. And we're just going to consider what being in Christ does for you. Everybody knows the verse, if anybody's in Christ, he's what? You're absolutely different. We do not have a religion by which we determine that we are going to go to heaven and therefore keep the law so that we can get there. We understand that if any man is in Christ, something has happened. We are a new creature, a new creation. Something has happened. God lives inside of us now because we are in Christ. And so we're going to look at what it means to be in Christ and the significance of floating, existing in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. So the first place it shows up is at the very beginning, the first verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Nope, that's verse 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The designation of who you are, your saints in central Kentucky, and you are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Our identity is we are the people who are where? In Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I'm in Christ Jesus. The second place it shows up is in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I am in Christ, therefore I am what? Who said that? That's exactly right. Out of the mouth of babes. We are blessed in Christ Jesus. The scripture says all the promises of God are what? Yea and amen in Christ. The promises of God in the Old Testament were dependent upon obedience. The promises of God in the New Testament are based on where you are. God has made promise to Christ, and if you are in Christ, God's promises are yea and amen. In Deuteronomy, there's a famous scripture about the blessing of God, and it talks about if you obey God, this will happen. And in another place, it says, if you don't obey God, these curses will come upon you. But folks, we are in Christ. And because we are His sons and daughters and we are in Him, God has spoken His blessing upon His Son. And if we abide in His Son, His blessing has been declared upon us. And God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. But He keeps His word. Deuteronomy 28 says, you will be blessed in the city. You will be blessed in the field. You will be blessed in the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground. Misa, you're going to get peppers and you're going to get tomatoes. In the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of your herds, the flocks of thy sheep, blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out, because you live and have your being in Christ because of what He has done. This promise is spoken over you by God, and it shall come to pass. Because you're a son, you're a daughter, and He will work all things together for your good to bring you to the fulfillment of those promises that He's made to His Son. Number three. God chose Christ, and because we are in Him, we are chosen. According as He hath chosen us in Him, this is Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Before the world ever began, God looked at His Son and said, I choose you. This was a free act of God. He, in eternity, it's an eternal choice that has always been made. He looked at His Son and He said, I choose you. There's a famous poem, probably the most famous poem about Kentucky. Jesse Stewart, in the middle of it, says, I didn't have any choices as to where I was born, but if I had had my choice, I would have chosen Kentucky. And if I could have chosen wind to breathe, I would have chosen Kentucky wind. With a scent of cedar, pine tree needles, green tobacco leaves, pawpaw, persimmon, and sassafras, I would have chosen too, wind from the sawbriar and greenbrier blossoms. If I could have chosen the spot in Kentucky, I would have chosen W. Holla, the place where I was born, where four generations of my people have lived, and where they still live. Here too, I have always lived, where the hills form a semicircle barrier against the roads, and there's only way to get in or to get out. God chose you of his own free will, and everything about you he understood and he knew, because he looked at his son and he said, I choose you. And just as soon as you find yourself in him, you find yourself the recipient of that choice that God made. Say praise the Lord. Everybody say, I'm in Christ and God chose me. Ephesians 1:6, this is number 4. God's attitude toward Christ is his attitude toward us. 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He has made us accepted in the beloved. Everybody say, I'm in Christ. I am beloved. I am in Christ, therefore I am beloved. God looked down and saw Jesus and said, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And if you are in Christ, God has spoken this over you. There's a song that says, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Before I was a Christian, I would have to say no. But now I say yes. Because everything that's in Christ is in me. And don't you know that if you've been baptized into Christ, you have become one who experiences his death? And so the death of the cross works in you because you're in Christ. But oh, hallelujah, something else works too. It's the resurrection power. Number 5 and 6 come in Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. You know that feeling when your posse has left you, the people you hang out with, and you begin to feel separated? You begin to feel like I'm losing my bearings because I don't have that crew around me. It may just be one person as your posse, but you have that situation. You feel like you're not a part of what's happening. During this COVID virus, I know that there's been times when the sort of the young singles have gotten together, and I'll run across one of them that didn't get to be there, and they're like, oh, I missed it. They didn't tell me, or I didn't read the text, and they're like, oh hallelujah. God is pulling us all together in one, in Christ. And there is something, it's like a tent with tent pegs and guy wires all around. We are held together and we are made whole by what God is doing in our life. And because we're in Christ, I am one with the people of God. No matter how much I feel alienated, the Bible says if I'm in Christ, I am together with the people of God. Everybody say, I'm in Christ.
I'm in Christ.
Therefore, I'm one with the people of God. 1:10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he shall gather together in one all things in Christ, even in him. Number 7, Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after his own will. In whom? In Christ we have an inheritance. We talk about the promises of God. We talk about the blessings of God. We talk about being the people of God because we're in Christ. This is really amazing because it's in terms of a father passing inheritance on to his sons and daughters. We have the very same inheritance. We have inheritance. Why? Because we have married his son. Because we are one in him. I know when Andrea married Matthew, Matt, I hope you don't mind. I hope this is not embarrassing to you. But I had helped Matt buy his first house. Just as soon as Andrea married Matthew, that was her house. It began to look like her house. She had cushions made. Andrea takes a house and she expresses herself in it. And now anything that I would ever give Matthew, I also give to Andrea. There is no difference between those two. Anything that Matt will ever get from me belongs to both of them equally. The Bible says that you are in Christ just like a wife. And God has given the keys of the kingdom to you. It is yours. Yes, God has called us to plant churches, but we plant churches out of what we receive of him because we are in his son. Ephesians 1:12 would be the eighth one. It's put together a little differently. And so I'm going to skip that one. You can read it and you can see why. It talks about in Christ, but the preposition is in a different place. So I'm going to skip that one. Number nine, Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. You have to read verse 19 to understand. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The exceeding power of God is directed into your life. Why? Because you're in Christ. Can you imagine that third day? Total darkness, a stone. What went on inside? What power was it? It was so exceedingly great that it overcame 3 days of death and brought forth the resurrected Christ. The Bible says that because you are in him, that power is concentrated on you and it is working in your life right now. Everybody say, I am in Christ. Therefore, the very power of the resurrection is working in me. Power to heal. Power to deliver. Power to preach the gospel. Power to live a holy life. The Bible says, how much more now being the sons of God is he going to take us on to fullness? Number 10 is in Ephesians 2:6. Our position is in heaven because we are in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our perspective is no longer now one of living in the earth. It's no longer one of the world is upon my shoulders, but is now one of I am seated with God and I have perspective, and it doesn't matter what's going on in my life in the earth that I'm living. But I live from the perspective of God, an eternal perspective. I'm seated with him in heavenly places, in eternity. I now live my life not bound by time, but I live my life free from what the world would say in time and space. And I live in the eternal God, and therefore I'm full of hope. I'm full of joy. I'm not burdened down by the things of this world. Everybody say, I am in Christ. Therefore, I'm on top of the world. Number 11, it's in Ephesians 2:10. It is in Christ that we find our function. It is in Christ that we find what we do and how we live. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I think people get really, really myopic and narrow-minded when they come to this verse, and they think in terms of God micromanaging my life and telling me which toothbrush to choose, or even what my vocation is going to be. But God has looked down into your life, and the overall patterns, the overall motivations, the overall way in which you function, God has determined that from before the foundation of the world, that you would function as Christ functioned in the earth. That whatever you do, the work that you do, God has ordained ahead of time that it will not be done as a fallen human being, but your work is going to manifest the glory of God. This was determined before he even created you. So when I go to work at Lowe's, God foreordained the way that I would relate to my boss. God foreordained the way that I would relate to difficult customers. God foreordained and had in his mind what it would look like when he put his son in front of a fellow employee who didn't know him. God knew what it would be when he would take his son and tell him to be at work on time. Before the foundations of the world, God's character understood what it would be to be a human being, and he foreordained the way you would live your life. We get there in the last half of the book, the expression of God, but it comes because God, before he even let us go, he determined, this is the way my daughter is going to serve her father. This is the way that my son is going to serve his mother. This is the way that my people are going to do the work that they do. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I'm in Christ. Therefore, I work the work of God. Number 12, Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Everybody say, I'm in Christ, therefore I am near to God. Don't raise your hand. But who here has ever felt far from God? It's a lie. It's a lie. You may not feel God, but God is there. You have been made near to God because of what Christ has done. And everything I've said so far about what is yours in Christ is yours, especially when you don't feel God. The scripture says clearly, in Christ, you have been made near by his blood. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. In CTS, I usually do a teaching on the conscience. The Bible talks about having our conscience purged and made pure. Your conscience can be damaged, and your conscience can lie to you, and your conscience can tell you that you are separated from God. And so in Hebrews it says, don't believe the lie. You have been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. You are in Christ. Therefore, you can come near to God. Number 13, God has made a promise to Christ. Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Can you imagine God the Father not keeping a promise to the Son? Oh my goodness. God has promised you to the Son. And we said it before, God is not a man that he should lie. Everybody say, I'm in Christ. Therefore, every promise of the Father to the Son is mine. There are different expressions, different denominations, different ways of understanding relationship to God. I am so thankful that we understand that we have honest relation, honest access to God because of what he has done in his Son, and he has placed us in his Son. We don't strive for these things. These things are ours in Christ. And because they are, we live them. I read that scripture in the beginning. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah built an ark. And one day, God called Noah into the ark with everything that had been prepared. And then he sent a flood. The flood covered the earth and washed everything away. After some time, the water receded. Does everybody know the first state mentioned in the Bible? It was Arkansas. Noah looked out of the ark and saw dry ground. The water receded. Dry ground appeared. And Noah walked out with only what had gone into the ark. And out of that, all life that you see today exists. Everything that went into that ark was preserved. It became fruitful and multiplied and filled the earth. That ark is Jesus Christ. We are in the ark. The floods can rise, the storm can rage. But God is blessing us, sustaining us, and keeping us in Christ. And he is preparing us to be the kingdom of God in eternity. And as we live here in Christ, the world cannot give us peace. But praise God, the world cannot take it away. This is the fact about your life. This is not wishful thinking. This is not a philosophy that you should live up to. I'm telling you, if you are a born-again believer, this is the truth about your life, and you need to let the truth of the Word of God dispel every lie that would exalt itself against the Word of God. He said very clearly, my Word shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish everything whereunto I sent it. God has spoken his word over Christ. You are in Christ, and praise God. God is going to keep his promise, and he's going to get out of you what he blessed you with. Amen. Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, because you have magnified your word above your name. God is serious about his word. His word does not change based on circumstances. It is eternal in your life. So as the worship team comes up, we're going to do that. We're going to worship toward the holy temple. This is our holy temple. because of his loving kindness and his truth, which never ends. So I hope, as you've had time to be before the Lord and to be alone, that you have enjoyed the presence of Christ in your life. But you know, it's down here. I dropped it. Oh, you got one. But you know, there may be some people here that when you were separated, you didn't feel like you were in Christ. You didn't feel his presence. And maybe you're kind of stuck in that. As the people who support you and are around you, you've been away from them, and for some reason you feel alienated. That's exactly why you were separated. So you can figure out that your dependency can't be on where you are or who you see. Your dependency has to be upon the Word of God. We looked at 13 different things tonight that the Bible says is true about you today, yesterday, and will be true tomorrow. And if we are going to plant churches, we are going to have to live in the Word of God, not in what people say to us or about us, not in the way people treat us, not in the number of friends that we have, but in what the Word of God says about us. I am in Christ, therefore I am blessed, period, end of story. If you're living in a mindset other than that, you need to get in touch with who you really are. You need to meditate on the Word of God and what it says about you. That's one of the toughest things as a Christian, is to live according to what the Word of God says rather than how I feel about myself, my situation, or other people. So tonight, it is a call. It's a call to return to the truth and let the truth break open in your heart. So if in any one of these points you've received a lie, if in any one of these points you've been living a lie, rebuke that right now. Stand up in your inner man. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost and allow the Spirit of God to manifest the exceeding power of God that is directed into your life right now. We're going to be in his presence. We're going to worship. We're going to float around in the presence of God in Christ for a little while. And if you need special prayer for something and you're not afraid of me laying hands on you, feel free to come down front. If you want to stop right there and just have us all pray for you, we'll do that too. But we're going to worship God and spend some time together. And if you need prayer for something specific, come on down and we'll get a few people to pray for you. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up.